In 1 Peter 1, the Bible says, "As he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." That is, in every aspect of how we live. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, as you think spiritually about the challenges of daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott to challenge and encourage us to holy living.
You are loved with an everlasting love. And that's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. Thanks for being with me, Valerie.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
It's always lots of fun to have an excuse to come to California. I live in Massachusetts, and that's a long way to be away from my grandchildren. We have been talking from time to time about mothering and being a wife. Let's talk about being a wife today. What is it you marry?
You marry a sinner. And I don't think I realized that until my honeymoon, even though you had told me well in advance that I needed to prepare myself to being married to a sinner and needed to prepare myself for being hurt possibly by my husband and that I would probably hurt my husband. But I actually did not find out that truly how my husband was a sinner until our honeymoon. And he saw how I was a sinner too, of course. So you have a chapter in your book, Let Me Be a Woman.
Before you read that, I think you better explain. I think many listeners are very confused by that word sinner. And they'd say, well, my goodness, what was he doing? Committing adultery on your honeymoon? Was he murdering somebody?
Or,
I mean, I'm not a sinner. I've never killed anybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I mean is that our selfishness comes to the forefront and our pride comes out when we start living day in and day out with somebody else. And no, he, of course, was not committing adultery. But it was just in irritation that I saw his sin come out. I hadn't really seen him. We had been engaged 17 months, but had only seen each other 5 times for short weekends during those 17 months. And things were sort of an unreality and a dream each of those times. It was wonderful and it was romantic, but we hadn't had to face any real life situations. And we had to go to the grocery store because we were staying for a week in an apartment in St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands, and we had to buy our breakfast and our lunch foods. So when we went to the grocery store, my husband was shocked by the prices. Of course, they were much higher than he had expected or budgeted for, and I got irritated with him because he wouldn't tell me what he wanted for breakfast and lunch, and I was all excited to buy just what my husband would want, and he got irritated because he didn't want to buy anything. He just said, no, we're not going to get any food.
Rather unrealistic.
So anyway, I just mean that we saw each other's irritation, and I think in this day and age, Christian couples, before they get married, have very high expectations that because they're Christians, the woman thinks that the husband will be a perfect husband, and the husband thinks that the wife will be a perfect wife, and everyday reality sets in, and you have to do all kinds of things that bring out your sinfulness. And so I would like to quote from your chapter called You Marry a Sinner in Let Me Be a Woman. You say that in the service of morning prayer, you repeat this confession regularly. We have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. And you say to us, you were talking to Walt and me, it might not be a bad thing to say this prayer together once in a while, remembering that we means both of you. You will be less likely to turn into a nagging wife if you recall continually that it is not only your husband who leaves undone those things which you think he ought to do and does those things which you think he ought not to do, but that you, too, have erred and strayed like a lost sheep, sinning daily by omission and commission. And I think our high expectations set us up for so much disappointment in marriage. If we think that our husbands are going to be everything that we need and they will do everything for us. And the husbands, in turn, think the same of their wives, that the wives will do everything that they need for them to do. And, of course, if a husband asks a wife to do something she doesn't want to do, she's going to put up a fuss about it. I remember realizing one day, I think we'd been married maybe 3 years, that I couldn't find all my security and all my happiness in my husband. I realized suddenly, and it was a revelation from God, that my security had to be in God and not in Walt, because my husband was human. He could only do so much. I couldn't expect him to be perfectly cheerful all the time. I couldn't expect him to help me when he didn't see the things that needed to be done.
It took you 3 years to figure that out. That he
well, certainly over the
he
years,
wasn't quite perfect.
No, I've seen over the years that more and more my dependence is completely in the Lord, and that God gave me my husband to help me to become a better Christian, more and more like Jesus. And of course, the Lord gave me to my husband to help him to become a better Christian. So I think we expect so much of our husbands that they often feel totally overwhelmed and frustrated, and they put up a wall towards us if we demand a lot of them. And I believe as wives we should adapt ourselves to our husbands, and we should ask them gently in private if we need their help, instead of yelling in front of the children, "Why don't you come over here and help me when I'm trying to put the supper on or something?" I remember a few times in private saying to my husband, "I do need help when I'm trying to put the meal on the table with the toddler or the baby. If there isn't an older one around to help with a little one, I need him to carry or hold the baby or put him in the high chair and get his hands washed." Our adapting to our husbands has to be done with a spirit of and the open hand, you know, giving our husbands to the Lord, giving ourselves to the Lord, and saying, "Lord, make me the kind of wife that will make my husband happy. And make me the kind of wife that sees what it is that's going to make him happy. Or make me the kind of wife that has the sense or the intuition to know what's going to please him, instead of insisting on my own way." And of course, this society says we can insist on our own way, and we can do everything 50-50, and we can expect our husbands to do a certain amount if we do a certain amount, and life just doesn't work that way.
It's just like a business contract, and in the home, it's a very different set of rules, which are all based on love rather than on law.
I think one little word of encouragement I could give to wives, maybe young wives who haven't been married very long, if they've gently asked their husband to help them at certain times of the day, if the husband is at home and the husband doesn't respond or change any, don't go back to your husband and say, "I asked you to do this, how come you're not doing it?" It doesn't help, really. And I think that's the very point where the Lord says, "Okay, now you've made your request to your husband, you need to leave it. Now come to me about it." And leave it with the Lord then. Say, "Lord, hasn't seen how I need help right at mealtime. Would you convict him? Would you show him?" But by my loving attitude, and of course 1 Peter 3:1-6 really is a wonderful section of Scripture to help us realize how our gentle and quiet spirit helps our husbands to be the husbands they should be. Let me read 1 Peter 3:1-6. "In the same way, you wives should accept the authority of your husbands. Then, if some husbands have not obeyed God's teaching, they will be persuaded to believe. You will not need to say a word to them. They will be persuaded by the way their wives live. Your husbands will see the pure lives that you live with your respect for God. It is not fancy hair, gold jewelry, or fine clothes that should make you beautiful. No, your beauty should come from within you, the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. This beauty will never disappear, and it is worth very much to God. It was the same way with the holy women who lived long ago and followed God. They made themselves beautiful in this way. They accepted the authority of their husbands. Sarah obeyed Abraham, her husband, and called him her master. and you women are true children of Sarah if you always do what is right and are not afraid. I think just that last phrase, and are not afraid, is there's a world of truth in that, because it's our fear that makes us want to nag our husbands and makes us want to make them do what we want them to do, because we're afraid that we won't have a good family or we won't have a good marriage if we don't tell our husbands how they should act. But we are to adapt to our husbands and treat them as master in the home.
It's a mistake for a wife to think that she is morally responsible for what her husband does.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, that if we are taking our requests to the Lord and asking Him to take them, and with a will saying, I will trust you for this and I will not bother my husband with it again, that gentle and quiet spirit will encourage our husbands to be better leaders.
I often pray that the Lord will help me to make it easier for Lars to do what I think Lars ought to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I should always say, Lord, help me to make it easier for Lars to do what you want him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if he's doing what God wants him to do, then I will be happier, he will be happier. But very often we are at fault because we're nagging and upset and worried and anxious and fearful, thinking that somehow or other we've got to corral our husbands into doing what mm-hmm. we think they ought to do, which you've said so well.
The verse that says you will not need to say a word to them is so wonderful, because if we obey that word and ask God to do the working in them, our husbands will appreciate our quietness. You know, there are many jokes made about the nagging wife. It's because men hate so much to be bothered continually by something that their wives want them to do. I think God wants us to be quiet and trust Him and believe that God will do the changing. God has all the power in the world to do what He wants to do with our husbands.
Thanks, Val, for being with us.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.